Turn your Bibles this morning to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. One way to tell if you're in a good church or not is if they use the Bible. If you go to church and they don't bring out the Bible, that's not a good sign. Another way to tell is if people bring their Bible. People don't bring their Bible, they probably think there's no reason to bring the Bible. So it's good to hear the pages turning. Psalm 106, starting in verse 12. The subject of the message is the result of ignoring godly counsel. The result of ignoring godly counsel. Psalm 106 talks about the children of Israel. They were in Egypt, how God led them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, out in the wilderness, and time and again they were tested and they were guided. But verse 12, then believed they his words, they sang his praise, they soon forgot his works, they waited not for his counsel. So you see, over and over again, they saw the hand of God. They saw God doing wonderful things. Gave them liberation. He gave them freedom. They're identified as a people of God. Miracle after miracle. And yet they soon forgot what God had done. They failed to realize he had the correct counsel. The wisdom came from God. I've read this before, but there's probably a few people who haven't heard it, but it's worth repeating. I enjoy reading it. So it's a story about trying to do the job alone, about a bricklayer who filed an insurance form. I think I read it not too long ago, maybe, but it's worth hearing again. Maybe you didn't get it the first time. Dear sir, I'm writing in response to your request for additional information for my insurance claim. In block number 3 of the accident claim form, I wrote, trying to do the job alone as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain the statement more fully. Well, I trust the following details will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the date of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered I had about 500 pounds of brick left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley, which was attached to the side of the building at the 6th floor level. Securing the rope at the ground, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. You will note in block number 22 of the claim form that my weight is 150 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and I forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded up the side of the building at a very rapid rate of speed. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains my fractured skull and collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley. By this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel then weighed about 50 pounds. I refer you again to the information in block number 11 regarding my weight. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the two fractured ankles and the laceration of my legs and lower body. This second encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell onto the pile of bricks. Unfortunately, only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks in pain, unable to stand, watching the empty barrel 6 stories above me, I again lost presence of mind and let go of the rope. The empty barrel weighed more than the rope, so it came down upon me and broke both of my legs. I hope I've furnished enough information to explain why trying to do the job alone was the cause of my accident. Well, it's certainly a funny and humorous thing about this guy and misfortune, but it illustrates a point that when we try to do everything ourselves, it doesn't always work out right. Somebody knows something we don't know. Hence, every man is our teacher. Seeking counsel is a good thing. Doesn't mean you can't make up your mind, do things on your own. Doesn't mean that you're not intelligent. But it is a wise thing to seek counsel when it is needed. And it is unwise to ignore counsel once you receive it. And as we read about the children of Israel, they forsook the counsel of God. That's always a mistake. And you watch young people as they make decisions, ignoring God, ignoring the Bible, ignoring their parents, ignoring the preacher, and you see the result of the mistakes that they make. So as we think about the idea of getting counsel, I think that men in general have a tendency not to ask advice when they do things. As an example, we're going somewhere and we don't have a map, we don't have a GPS, we just know we know where we're going. And our wife says to us, maybe you should stop and ask directions. Oh no, I know where I'm going. You know, that's sort of a tendency sometimes men have. You know, we have this instinct that we can assemble this Christmas present. We don't need the directions. And I look at that thing and try to figure it out. And finally, reluctantly, we get the directions. We say, oh, that's what we do. You know, we all sort of have that tendency. We have a little bit of pride thinking we're smarter than we are. And we can ignore or not seek counsel. So important to seek counsel at the right time. What do we mean when we talk about counsel, seeking counsel? It means we're getting advice or information or help. And as we seek advice and guidance, that will help us make better decisions. So it is a serious thing to know when to get counsel, who to get counsel from, and that we will heed and listen and not be so stubborn as to not take the advice that we're given. Now, there's a reason usually when people seek counsel. First of all, we don't know how to do something. We're stuck. You know, there are times when the computer does something that we don't know why it did that. And it doesn't make sense why it did that. And you read the manual or you look at the help that it gives you and it says, now when you see this window, and that window is not there. And so we call a number and we're seeking advice. You know, we don't know how to do something. Or there's a government office, Social Security, and we say, I don't know what they mean by this. We call the number, we're seeking advice. Doesn't mean we get the right advice, but we're seeking advice because we don't know how to do something. So when we recognize we need help, we don't have the answers, that's when we come to a place, I better get some help. I'm going to seek counsel. When you know there's someone you can trust, someone who may have an expertise in a particular area, that's another reason we seek advice. Say you are interested in your retirement account, you know someone who's an expert in financial advice, and you say, they know what they're doing, I'll ask them. Or someone that they've raised a good family, I have some questions about my family, I'll ask them because it seems they have been successful. So when you see someone you trust and believe they can help you, that's who you go to. Now let's say your car is not running right. Maybe right now there's somebody's car, something wrong with it. And if you're not a mechanic, you don't know much about mechanics, probably you're not going to figure it out, and probably it'll not correct itself. So what do you do? You go to a mechanic. You go to someone who you trust, someone you think has the answers. Something breaks in your home. Your washing machine's not working. You think, oh, I can fix this, and you take it all apart. Now it's all over the floor. What do? You know, now it's almost too late to call somebody. It's like, can they put Humpty Dumpty back together again? Remember, my aunt was discouraged. She said, you know, this faucet has been leaking forever, and I can't get anybody to fix it. I'll just fix it myself. So she took the faucet off without shutting the water off. You know, had she sought counsel, someone would have informed her, you need to shut the water off before you do anything. But she didn't do that, and she had water everywhere. And our family has shared that little incident many times over. Got a lot of mileage out of that one. So when you realize there's someone who's an expert, you want to get help from them because they can probably be a benefit to me and give me guidance and give me help. Seeking counsel is not such an odd thing. It really is a common occurrence. A teacher is really teaching and giving counsel, and we're learning from their experience and what they know. Employers or a foreman or boss can give us help or direction on the job because they have been there longer, they know what they're doing, hopefully, and it's a common occurrence. How do I do this? How do I handle that situation? Coaches give direction and counsel to their players. And with our academy, I've been involved a little bit in some coaching, and I remember one particular year, the very last game, finally somebody did what I asked them to do. And it was all year. No one had all these plays, had all these things that they were supposed to do. The last game of the year, finally they ran a play. Didn't work, but they did run the play. You know, there's a reason a coach is there, and we are to listen to their guidance, their counsel. Pastors give counsel. People sometimes make appointments. Sometimes it's casual at a gathering or before after church, and the pastor tries to give help and guidance in a person's life. Counselors give counsel. Whenever a person really has a difficult situation, seeking counsel can be a very valuable thing. That doesn't mean that a counselor will solve your problems, but seeking their help, their input, all that can be of great value. So you seek advice when you don't know something. You seek advice when you need help. You seek advice when you believe there's someone who knows something you don't know and it can be a help. Then why wouldn't we seek counsel more often? Why don't we ask more questions? Why don't we go to people who are strong in their Christian walk, people who have help with our finances or with our home or with our family? Why don't we do it more often? Number one, pride. We somehow think that it's belittling for us to admit we don't know everything. And we're afraid that someone might look at us as being weak. And our pride gets in the way. And we think, I'll do this myself and hopefully it'll work out. When if we sought advice, if we sought counsel, that would solve our problem. Another reason is we're afraid there's no one that we can trust. And if we don't learn who to trust, who to believe in, that can lead us to a place where we seek no counsel. Again, back in verses 12 and 13. It says, then believe they his words, they sang his praise, but they soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel. The Lord was guiding them. He was helping them. He was showing them what they could do, proving himself, and yet they failed to do so. They were stubborn and proud. So where do we find counsel? Where do we get counsel? Well, I suppose we can check with ourselves. That's our first tendency. I know what to do, and I'll do it my way. Proverbs 3 and verses 5 through 7, just turn there real quickly. This is a passage that's a cornerstone passage. It's one that ought to be marked in your Bible, should be underlined or highlighted in some way. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Notice the next part of it. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 14, 12 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jeremiah reminds us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so we ought to seek the right kind of counsel. If we depend on ourselves all the time, we can easily be misled and we can be proud about it and think we really know what we're doing. So we've got to be careful about being stubborn or rebellious, thinking we have all the answers. Be careful, because that can direct us in the wrong path. Secondly, we can receive worldly counsel. You know, there's a lot of opinions out there in the world. There's a lot of philosophies and ideas out in the world. Turn with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 really summarizes what we should do and understand what we should not do. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if we go to people who are not saved, they're not Christian, they're not living for God, they don't know their Bible, they're living by a humanistic principle, says we're blessed if we don't go to them for counsel. Go down to verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we cannot go to the world, to the people of the world, think they have all the answers. You know, whether it be in education, whether it's the news media, whether it's at work, the world's ideas are not always correct, and many times they contradict the Word of God. Even in Psalm 2 and verse 2, says the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Psalm 33:10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. I can't remember a time in my lifetime where the world's philosophy is so different and contradictory to the Christian philosophy. I mean, it has changed. And people are at a point where they even look at Christianity in a mocking way, without even knowing anything about it. They don't know anything about the Bible. They don't really know anything about true Christianity. But they are so far removed from the truth. Why would a Christian go to someone like that for counsel? We ought to seek Christian counsel, godly counsel. Remember about Absalom? It says, Absalom, all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. Why? Because he said, make life tough for people, be harder on them, and you're going to be more profitable than even your father, the king. He listened to the counsel of the young men, and he ignored the counsel of the old men with experience. There's a danger in rejecting godly counsel. 1 Kings 12:8 says, but he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. So there's one alternative for the Christian. It's to seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. That means we should listen to our parents. Now look, if our parents aren't saved, we still, according to the Bible, should heed their guidance. We're under their authority. But particularly if they're Christian, we should seek their help, their guidance. There are Christian friends that could help us, or members of the church that can guide us. We ought to seek that counsel. There are times to seek the counsel of the pastor or the pastor's wife or someone on staff. There's a time to seek the counsel of a teacher and get help. And so we ought to know who we can go to for a particular area that we need help with and be able to admit that seeking advice and counsel is a good thing. But to reject the counsel of God or that that comes from God leads to a life that's going to have a lot of problems. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So we are different than the world. We're called out of the world. And in the world sense, I don't mean odd and strange, but peculiar in the sense that we are different because we're trying to follow the Word of God and live a holy life. So a Christian ought to look different than the world. I've heard people who are Christians say, "Well, we don't want to look different than the world. We want to engage the culture and be like them." That is so contrary to the Word of God. Christians should be different and unique, and people could tell by just talking with you, even maybe looking at you, there's something different about you. Psalm 33:11, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Proverbs 11:14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." So let's say that you're just going to buy a car. You don't really know that much about buying a car. You don't know much about which one is a better value, how a car dealer works, how to buy it. You know, they want to sell you different things that, do I need this or not need this? And, you know, what kind of gas mileage to get? You don't know much about it. So what would you do? Well, you find a few people that know something about buying a car. Maybe there's a banker, maybe there's an insurance agent, maybe there's a car dealer, and you talk to all three of them. Then maybe you go back to your parents, you talk to your parents, and you gather all that information together. Don't you think you would have a better ability to make a good decision if you got input from all those people? And you probably would not know everything they know. That does not belittle you. That's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of godliness. It's a sign of strength to seek counsel. One of the things that I've noticed about church planters, they fit into two categories. One of them, they already know how to do it before they've ever done it. And they tell you, "Look, just let me do it my way." And they don't seek advice. They don't come under anybody's authority. "I'm going to do it my way." And immediately, I know they're doomed. They are, because they need help and guidance. And then there's the one, they seek advice from everybody. They come to our church and they're looking for support. And they say, "Now, preacher, what about this? And how do you do that? How do you handle this?" They go to another church and they talk to that preacher. And they talk to another church planner. They just started. "Well, how did you raise support? And where did you get those meetings? And how did you do that?" I said, "Now, there's someone that's going to be successful based entirely on that one issue. Are they seeking counsel and heeding counsel?" Seeking counsel and heeding the counsel you receive is a key to success. Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Proverbs 20 and verse 5, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." The prophets of the Old Testament often would give visible and sometimes examples personally so that people would learn a particular lesson. And this is not my normal way in a sermon to do this, but today I'm going to do that. And I had to pick a family that might not be mad at me after I embarrass them to come. But I'm going to ask Bob Batney and his wife to come. And if you wouldn't mind to stand right up here at the front. I'm going to ask Don and Sarah. We'll not get all the rest of the family, but the rest of them might be mad at me if I do this. So. And the kids. Bring all the kids. Because I think it'll be an illustration. And it, not pointing out good or bad about them, just for the purpose of an illustration. So we're going to, right now, we're going to put the kids on the front row, and we'll put the grandparents on the front row. And Don and Sarah are going to stand up here in front of everybody. What can go wrong with this picture right here? So here they are. Now, they were sweethearts from high school. They went through a Christian school, and, you know, they've known one another a long time. So they got married, and let's assume they just got married. And they say, look, we know what we're doing, but we need help. And so we've got the grandparents. Their parents are going to come up here. Would you stand? Yeah, don't fall. That's not good. Now, they have a lot more experience. You know, they've been married a long time. So they have all this experience. They know something about having a family and a marriage. And then they say, we're going to seek their advice. I get their advice. And the children come along. So get the children up here. Well, there's some of them. So they get all these children along, and they say, wow, we've never had children before. We need help. We need some instruction. And they got the parents. The other thing they have is they have the pastor. The pastor's here. He's had experience. He's been around a little bit. He's had the family. And, of course, they have the Bible. And you put the Bible right in the middle of it. You say, now, we have help. You know, this is going to make a much stronger family. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, the parents could do too much meddling. They could force themselves and just dote over their children and their grandchildren, run their lives. That would be wrong. But no, they're perfect grandparents, and they're there when they're needed. But Don and Sarah are smart enough to realize they need their advice and their counsel. So they seek their help. But let's say they ignore that. The Bible's not part of it anymore. The pastor's not part of it anymore. They're not seeking guidance and counsel from the pastor. And then the parents, they're not seeking their help. You can go down now.
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah. Don't mention it. I'm happy to do that for you. Did a great job, too. Thank you. So they're all alone. They don't have the guidance of the Bible. They don't have the guidance of the pastor. They don't have the guidance of their parents. They are ignoring years and years and years of experience and knowledge that they do not know. And we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to do it alone. And they're all alone without that help. Let me tell you something. I really believe this is one area in our culture that we have missed the opportunity to gain the input of our parents or grandparents. And the Bible talks about the third and fourth generation. And if we learn that truth to seek godly counsel, it is going to help us establish our home. Thank you very much. Give them a good hand. Thank you so much. That's not to say that the preacher knows everything. It's not to say that parents know everything. The point is, they know more than you know. They know something you don't know. And if we ignore them and we say, well, I'm going to get married, I'm going to do what I want to do, we're ignoring years and years of experience. All you have to do is say, look, Dad and Mom, I want your help and your input. Would you please give me your counsel? Even if you don't follow it, at least you heard it. At least you received it. But to say, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to go my own way, and ignore godly counsel, you're headed in the wrong direction. And you know there's pride that's getting in the way. There's rebellion that's getting in the way. Do you know that rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft? And you open yourself up for Satan to sift you like wheat, to sift your life and to ruin your life, to ruin your future. So it is so wise to seek godly counsel. If we ignore godly counsel, there are consequences that go with it. You know, the Bible tells us about many things that we should do, about the home and family, obviously about money and finances, about our relationships with other people, about business, about our health. Seeking counsel is a good thing. But when we receive it and we ignore it, we do our own thing. There are always consequences. And you know, the greatest counsel of all is how to be saved. Somebody opens a Bible and they say, look, here's what God says. Unless a man is born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. Someone says, I don't care about that. I'll do my own thing. Well, the consequences are eternity without God and hell forever. See, we all need counsel. And there are times when we might get counsel that's not good counsel. So we have to be discerning. But there are certain people and key people we ought to have as godly counsel. And we hear it. We need to take it to heart. I suppose of all the years after being saved as a fairly young person, 18 years old, of all the years that I've sought counsel, I can only think of one or two times that I did not follow the counsel I was given. Maybe one or two times. I think I did the right thing, but I did it very, very cautiously by not following the counsel I was given. All the rest of the time, which is hundreds of times, I followed everything the counsel said. Folks today, to ignore godly counsel is a huge mistake. And to seek godly counsel is a huge reward. Let's bow for prayer.